Melons are the vegetable garden's crown jewels and Amy Goldman's lifelong passion and calling. Her new book, The Melon, will entice and educate whether you're a passionate gardener, a locavore, or simply delight in the inherent beauty of the fruits of the vine. The Melon was produced by Amy Goldman in collaboration with celebrated photographer Victor Schrager over the course of 9 years. It comes after her award-winning melon book, Melons for the Passionate Grower, published in 2002. In the intervening years, Goldman has grown as a gardener and says she's learned a lot more. Again, the name of the book is The Melon. It is out Tuesday. However, she will be at the Rhinebeck Farmers Market from 11 to 1 talking about and signing the book. And we welcome her to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
Great. I'm delighted to be with you.
It's today. Wonderful to have you on the program. So the book officially comes out on Tuesday the 17th, but you're going to be at the Rhinebeck Farmers Market on the 15th, and they'll have books there so that people get a chance to see it, and there'll also be melons, so that's really, really cool. Let me ask you how this particular project came about, where you thought to yourself, you know, I think The Melon needs a book.
Yeah, The Melon had a book, and it had a book from me in 2002. Melons for the Passionate Grower, my first book. But in the intervening years, I realized that I had grown as a gardener and learned a lot more. So I wanted to make the book even bigger and better. It's not a second edition, it's a new book.
First of all, let me say that the book itself as an object is absolutely gorgeous. There's wonderful information in here, but the book is beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful photography. And let's face it, melons are pretty.
They are beautiful, and they should be celebrated. And I couldn't be more fortunate to have had Victor Schrager as my photographer all these years. We've done 4 books together, and he's amazing. He gives my passion visual embodiment.
Now, there's a lot of words in here that I don't know how to pronounce, but how do you classify, how did you decide to break up the book so it made sense for us, so that we could see something that we recognized within the overall context of the melon?
Yeah, so melons and watermelons are more diverse than most of us realize. And I'm not a plant scientist. I'm a horticulturist and, you know, a home gardener. So I wanted to speak in plain English to my reading audience. So we divided the melon group into 16 horticultural groups. So they share certain characteristics, like the French cantaloupes, the American muskmelons or netted melons, the Queen Anne pocket melons from Persia, the snap melons from India, the sweet oriental melons from the Orient, the Chandalak melons, and that's a hard one to pronounce, Chandalak, from Central Asia. There's 85 melons featured in words and photographs, and there are 40 watermelons as well. So in the first book, I didn't give watermelons their fair shake, and so they get their fair shake here.
But they are a melon, right? I mean, they are part of the melon family, and yet they are very different.
They are very different, and in America today, we commonly think of both as melon. However, they belong to 2 different species within the same family, the Cucurbitaceae family of plants. It's the gourd family that also includes cucumber, pumpkin, squash, and so forth. So I'm not a stickler. They're all melons in my book.
And they share, I mean, I guess the commonality is a sweetness, correct?
Not all of them are sweet, but they are all vining plants. They grow as annuals. They're herbaceous fruit, so, you know, they don't overwinter from season to season. And they're rampantly vining, and so they require a lot of space to sprawl.
The color variety is what gets me, and it's really why the book is so interesting and so beautiful, I think, is you think of the, as you mentioned, the cantaloupe, You have that beautiful orange color, the watermelon, that red color, what is often referred to was a honeydew melon, is more of a yellowish, greenish color, correct?
Correct.
So the variety in color alone is fascinating.
Yeah, it's just amazingly diverse, not only the flesh colors, but also the skin or the rinds of watermelons in particular are very unusual. Some are, many of them are striped differently. Some have speckles, like Moon and Stars watermelon has one big moon and little yellow stars. And even the plant is speckled with heavenly bodies. So, and then the flavors are really different. There are definite nuances of flavor, and you know the green-fleshed musk melons, like the one I brought you today, Ford Hook Gem, is something that our grandparents would have appreciated. It was introduced by Burpee in 1967, but it's the offspring of two heirloom melons, very famous melons, Netted Gem and Extra Early Night. Anyway, it has a spicier, sweeter flavor than an orange musk melon, which is musky. So, you know what Benjamin Franklin used to say about this subject? He said, "Men and melons are hard to know." And yes, that's true, unless you cut them open. And I'm 99% sure that melon I've given you is good. I harvested it yesterday morning. I grew it in isolation from other varieties with which it could cross. So if you want to save those seeds, they're pure and will breed true.
Now, I want to get to the seeds in a second, but let's talk about this melon. First of all, it's, as you mentioned before, it is just handsome on the outside, and then it'll be amazingly orange and beautiful on the inside.
Green.
Oh, it'll be green on the inside.
It'll be green. So the green-fleshed musk melons are sweeter, and they're not musky like the orange ones are. It's a more delicate and perfumed flavor, and they're soft flesh.
Now, can you tell, the way I have always learned, this is from Mom, I think, but the way I've always learned is that if
Moms know best.
If it yields at the top and gives a little bit, that the melon is ripe and ready to go. Is that
well,
sort of true?
Yeah, you can use your thumb pressure to indicate when musk melons are ripe, usually at the blossom end, the bottom end.
Yeah.
And of course, there's the fragrance.
Yeah.
But the most reliable indicator is the color change, if that netting is more yellow rather than gray. And it slips from the vine when ripe. It just simply falls off, or you can easily pull it.
Now, that, of course, is the advantage you have as the grower that we wouldn't necessarily have as the consumer.
But for the consumer or buyer, I have lots of helpful hints on how to identify a really good melon or watermelon in the market. And that one in particular is weighty for its size. It's rounded, symmetrical. It has everything going for it.
Now, I'm going to bring up what may be a sore subject with you, and I really don't know how you're going to take this, but let me ask it anyway. All right. I find the aroma of this melon to be beautiful, just lovely and second to none. What I find, however, is when I am purchasing melons and I get them and then I put them in my car and then I go out to get something in the store and I come back, I feel like something has died in the back of the car.
Oh, no.
And
I'm wondering
is that the smell can be very harsh sometimes. Individually, it seems fine. But sometimes you think, wow, these are very potent.
Well, perhaps the melon you're referring to was overripe, and in which case there are off flavors and odors. But
because when you take it off the vine and you are handed it, it smells like this. It smells beautiful. It's just something about it, and so you don't have that comment. We don't have that in common, that feeling.
Well, I have seen plenty of rotten melons in my day. Okay.
But these aren't rotten. You cut them in half and it's beautiful and perfect.
Well, let me say that that muskmelons are what Americans just call cantaloupes, have a very short shelf life. And so once they're picked from the vine, they need to be cooled down immediately. So if you had an ice chest or something in your car, I recommend, because their shelf life will be longer if they're refrigerated, up to a week. And then you won't have that reeking acetone kind of smell that I think you're referring to.
And I guess the overall thing is that they can be very potent. I mean, you know you have a melon in the car. Let's put it that way.
I think with the green-fleshed ones, you're not going to have that problem. And certainly with other melon groups like the Spanish melons, the canary melons, they have no odor at all. Zero. So I recommend those for you.
Amy Goldman is our guest this morning. The name of the new book is The Melon, and it's absolutely beautiful. It is just out. I have to say, I'm not complaining about the smell of the melon. I love it, and eating it is pleasurable. Just sometimes it's a beautiful little object, and all of a sudden you think, wow, that has a lot of there's a lot coming out of that thing.
Well, there's a melon for everybody. And so,
look at this sucker. This thing, I wouldn't even guess how much this weighs.
Well, I didn't weigh it, but they, you know, I schlepped it here, so it was portable. I'd say 20 pounds.
Yeah, it's like a 20-pound melon. It is, and man, this just looks great. And but listen to that hollow. That just sounds perfect.
Yeah, I think it is. I harvested that a day or two ago. It's an all-sweet watermelon, and it's long and has jagged green stripes. It was bred by Charles Hall at Kansas State University, the Agricultural Extension Service, in the 70s for disease resistance, for flavor, and it has a crisp, delicious, sweet red flesh. I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, this is absolutely beautiful. And the melons that we would think of as it's often difficult in talking to someone who knows what they're talking about, because we basically have you have a watermelon.
I don't know it all.
Well, what I'm saying is that when you talk to people about the average person who is not going to a farmer's market or is not going to a farm or a garden will basically in the store have a green watermelon with a red inside, a cantaloupe and a honeydew melon. Right. I mean, those are sort of the choices.
Sad but true.
Yes.
Though right now in farmers markets,
there's a lot more going on. And that's what I'm getting to. So let's talk about the seeds and why those are so important and so important to keep these varieties going.
Yeah, absolutely. These are the end result of centuries and thousands of years of domestication, selection by farmers and gardeners, and of course, the actions of seed savers who've passed the seed along to us. So we are the beneficiaries of a vast heritage of deliciousness, and they are worthy of growing. These heirloom melons are worthy of growing and sharing and saving and conserving.
They're from around the globe, aren't they?
They are. The Cucurbitaceae family of plants originated in Asia about 70 million years ago, but then various lineages dispersed by transoceanic means. And sweet melons were selected in Asia, Central Asia, and Khorasan, the area known as Khorasan, and then the sweet dessert watermelon originated in the north of Africa, near Sudan, and there it was selected for sweetness.
You mentioned something earlier, and I had noted this in the book, and I wanted to ask you about, so I'm glad you brought it up, but moon and stars. This was a surprise. You say it was a surprise in your garden.
Yes, a very serendipitous crossing of the moon and stars watermelon with the orange glow watermelon, and those save seeds that I replanted the following year yielded a melon that was starred and striped with orange flesh. The original Moon and Stars watermelon had a red flesh or a pink flesh, and it was introduced by Peter Henderson in about 1924. It's probably what's known as the poster child of the heirloom seed movement because it was introduced commercially. It disappeared from commerce a short time later, and it seemed to have gone extinct. Seed Saver in Missouri had it growing in his garden. The Seed Savers Exchange found it and reintroduced it. Now it's everywhere, which is wonderful.
So how much of a problem do you have? You've mentioned it a couple of times this morning, but how much problem do you have of, the melons getting together in a way that they shouldn't be getting together?
Yeah, well, if you're like me and you're interested in saving pure seed of a variety to yep. share with others, then you want to isolate that variety by distance from other varieties with which it could cross. So I would grow, this all-sweet watermelon we have here today, I'd grow it in a garden by itself with no other watermelons. It's the seed within the melon that gets crossed. So the saved seed doesn't breed true unless you take certain steps to isolate it. But for ordinary people who are growing a lot of melons in close crops proximity, it doesn't matter, you know, because if they're not going to save seed, the maternal tissue is fine. It'll be fine.
Let them go.
Just let them go. Enjoy. And if you really want to know how to preserve pure seed, then see the book.
Well, and I don't want to forget a very big part of this book, which is absolutely beautiful, and you offer recipes. You can do a lot with these melons.
You can. I mean, melons are not just for dessert anymore.
So we can
go to town.
Dine
yeah,
out
breakfast,
on the melon.
Lunch, dinner, every meal, soup, salad, mains, desserts, drinks, smoothies.
A luscious golden watermelon gazpacho with toasted pine nuts. That sounds and looks beautiful.
It's true.
Salsas, mixed melon balls with watermelon aspic. And again, there's so much variety in the recipes because there's so much variety in melons.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, they're very useful in cookery.
How do you hope people will ultimately use the book to better understand the melon?
You know, my goal is to celebrate the diversity that exists in cultivated vegetables. And I would hope that people would find beauty and inspiration there. And I'd hope that they would maybe grow some of these varieties and preserve them and enjoy them because melons spark joy.
The book is absolutely beautiful and joyous in and of itself. It is The Melon by Amy Goldman, photographs by Victor Schrager. Amy's going to be at the Rhinebeck Farmers Market on Market Street in Rhinebeck from 11 to 1. There will be a book signing there as well from 11 to 1. And do you actually sell the melons too?
I don't sell them. I never sell melons, but I'll be giving
tastings.
Yeah,
so people will get to not only be able to look at the book, but,
yeah.
but see some
tasting
of the...
is believing.
Absolutely. It is, it's the 15th from 11 to 1, a book signing from our friends at Oblong Books and Music right there in Rhinebeck. The book is The Melon by Amy Goldman. Thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for bringing these beauties. Man, this is a lot of melon. That's
well,
great.
Well, it's my absolute pleasure. They're meant to be shared, those big melons. So
absolutely.
Have a party.
We'll go melon crazy. Invite Gallagher over. Thank you very much.
A great pleasure
to have you on the program. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is The Melon by Amy Goldman. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.